Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina back with Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Today, we are going to be speaking with Rob Schrader again. He's been a guest in the past on the Kingdom of God. One thing I meant to say at the very beginning is that we train and equip adults to become holistic, effective mentors in the church and business, impacting individuals, families, and communities into the next generation. And so with that being our mission, what does the Kingdom of God have to do with that? Well, you're going to find out today as Rob shares more. Rob, introduce yourself and you get to kick off this topic.
Hi, thanks again for having me on today. It is always a pleasure to be with you guys. I enjoy talking with you very much. I'm a pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Berlin, Wisconsin. Been a pastor for about 4 years now. And today's topic, like you said, the Kingdom of God, is something that I've always kind of wondered about. It's this kind of cryptic phrase that we read in the Bible somewhat frequently. And I decided to write a Bible study on it a few months ago and had some really good feedback from those who did the study with me and said, oh, I've always kind of wondered that too. And this really helped to explain some things. So today we're going to go through the full 3-hour Bible study on this topic.
Excellent.
I'm just kidding. But I've kind of pulled out some of the highlights. So I want to start by just taking a few minutes and explaining what is the Kingdom of God. And then we can have a conversation about what does that mean for mentoring and how does that impact what we do as mentors. So first, the Kingdom of God is a pretty important concept throughout the Bible, both the Old and New Testaments. It's a phrase that you specifically see the phrase Kingdom of God a lot in the Gospels. In Matthew's gospel, oddly enough, he almost always says kingdom of heaven instead of kingdom of God, but scholars all agree it's the exact same concept that's being talked about. And the Old Testament kind of sets this whole thing up. There's a number of passages in the Old Testament that talk about this future kingdom, and it's through David's line. There's going to be this king that's going to come, and this king is going to set everything right. It's kind of a return to Eden, a return to paradise, right? I pulled out a couple of these passages. Isaiah 16:5 says, "Then a throne will be established in steadfast love, and on it will sit in faithfulness in the tent of David, one who judges and seeks justice and is swift to do righteousness." So here we get this Davidic king coming to rule a kingdom, and this kingdom has perfect justice and righteousness. In Isaiah 35:5-7, it says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes." So again, this image of a better kingdom where there's no more blindness or deafness, where there's no more dry deserts, but the world is lush. And finally, a familiar one, usually around Christmas time, Jeremiah 23:5. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." So here we have this, again, king coming from the line of King David, and he's going to be the king of perfect wisdom and justice and righteousness. So there's this idea that the Israel people have in the Old Testament of this coming kingdom, this coming king like David, who will bring about this perfect rule and reign. And of course, we know now that this was all pointing ahead to Jesus. When Jesus came on the scene, he identified himself as the kingdom of God. Not just the king, but he's the king that God promised who would bring and who would be the kingdom of God himself. And when Jesus was on earth, he started to fulfill those Old Testament passages. If you read any of the Gospels, we have these references of these miracles that Jesus is doing. He's turning water into wine. He's bringing the abundance of this new kingdom, this kingdom of God. He's healing the blind. He's casting out demons. He's raising even the dead on a few occasions. He's this king who is bringing the kingdom of God, who's starting to bring about some of those things that we saw in the Old Testament. So the kingdom of God starts coming in Jesus, but here we are in the 21st century and we still have diseases. We still have blindness. We still have deserts. Our world is not yet fully transformed into the kingdom of God. And even though Jesus was present, he actually still taught his followers to pray for the kingdom of God. That's in the Lord's Prayer. He says, he teaches them and us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have this kingdom of heaven where the will of God is done, where everything is good and perfect. And Jesus says that we should be praying for that to come here. So he recognizes that even though he's bringing the kingdom and he is the kingdom, it's not come in its fullness yet, and we should be praying for God to bring it in its fullness. Well, after Jesus, his disciples wrote what we call the epistles. Those are the latter part of the New Testament, the letters of Paul and Peter and James and John, so on and so forth. And in those letters, it's revealed to us that the kingdom of God, while it started coming in Jesus, it won't fully come until he comes again. For instance, 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, "Then comes the end when he, Jesus, delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power." So there will still come a time when this world, what I would be called the kingdom of sin, will be destroyed, and the kingdom of God in its fullness will be present. And that will be here when Jesus comes again. So in his first coming, he started bringing the kingdom of God, but it was just an introduction. In his second coming, he's fully bringing this kingdom of God that was promised in the Old Testament to our world. And I just have one more passage I want to read. It's one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, Revelation 21, 1 to 5. And this tells us what that new kingdom, that kingdom of God will be like. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And he who was seated on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" So when he comes again, that's when all things are made new. The kingdom of sin is gotten rid of. The kingdom of God comes, and the kingdom of God has God here physically with us in his fullness. And when God is here, all of the bad is gone. The pain, the crying, the death, it's gone. And we don't have that anymore. Instead, we have this perfect rule and reign of God that was promised in the Old Testament. So that was a long introduction. But let's talk about what all of that has to do with mentoring. Why does the kingdom of God matter on a podcast about mentoring? Do you guys have any thoughts off the bat?
My first thought is how you eloquently talked about we're not yet where God inhabits the earth and the kingdom is whole. we're in the time where there's weeping and pain and mourning. And what he does in Revelations, it's happening right now. A mentor can help with that, right? If we can point them to what's coming, but let them know you have a helper right now to get you to that point. And that's a beautiful role of a mentor during this in-between time.
Christina, I didn't give you the answer and you got the answer, right? That was perfect. That was spot on. I'm going to say it a little more theologically, but that is exactly where I was going with this. And it's we have to go actually all the way back to the beginning of the Bible to one of the most contested passages or talked about, discussed passages in the Bible. And that's Genesis 1:26. And that's where it says, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Now, I did kind of a deep dive into that verse because I wanted to know what it means. And I'm not going to say that I have the only answer, but after a bit of study, I think I understand that passage. And what I think it means is when it says we're created in God's image, that word is actually often used as a representative. So like you think of like a coin. On a coin, we have the image of Abraham Lincoln. It represents Abraham Lincoln, but it's not Abraham Lincoln. Or you could think about it like a kingdom, or think about the United States, I guess. We got the president over the entire United States, but each state has its own governor. And there are certain things that the governor is called to represent the president in. Now, the governor's not the president, but he's an image of the president in those instances. He's representing the president. He's doing the president's work and will. And that's what this passage ultimately gets at, is that we're God's representatives, he says, to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, so on and so forth. As human beings, we're God's representatives on earth. We're the people that are supposed to be working in his image and doing his will to, as you said, Christina, bring about the kingdom of God and point people towards the ultimate coming of the kingdom of God at the end of time. And really, that I think is the key role of the mentor. We're not just doing it to help somebody. We're doing it to bring the kingdom of God into their life, to show them who God is. God is the one who helps. And as we do that, we can point them ahead to the time when God fully, totally, completely helps and brings that kingdom in its fullness at the end of time. So when you befriend somebody who's lonely, you're bringing them the kingdom of God. You're showing them the God who wants to be with them. When you listen to somebody who's hurting, you're bringing the kingdom of God. You're showing them the God who cares enough to listen. And then as we act out being God's representatives to people as mentors, and they start to say, well, this is kind of nice to have somebody care about me and want to help, then we can say, I'm just the image. I want to point you to God in his fullness, the one who really, totally, fully can help. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
You've simplified it for me so well, because I have heard the statement or the words, the kingdom of God, and it tweaks my brain. It feels like it's all of this and so much more than I can even grasp. So I thank you for how simply, not that God's word is simple, and yet there's so much about God we don't know, but for me, you made it simple for me to grasp more of it than I ever have, I think.
I'm glad. And it was the same for me when I got to dig into this a little bit. And I think for me personally, this gives mentoring a whole new level of coolness, I guess, a whole new level of importance. It's not just me doing something. It's the big picture. It's bringing God to people and showing them who the Lord is. And that matters a lot more than just being a mentor in the here and now. How might thinking about mentoring like this in the context of the kingdom of God, how might that impact how you guys think about and do mentoring?
Well, you've made me think that we've always been very intentional, especially when people are trying to wrap their heads around mentoring and making the discipleship connection. And we always say, well, Jesus is our example. He gave his life away. He poured into people. And that's true. But what this discussion makes me go, it takes the drone approach to go, but the bigger picture also is, yes, Jesus did that. But we get an opportunity to be that image bearer to someone, to bring the kingdom of God to somebody through mentoring. Again, it takes the focus off the mentor. It's like, okay, I'm partnering with God for his kingdom on the kingdom of God to come.
And yeah. I think it kind of makes it into a privilege then. Like, I guess I think about, this is maybe kind of a strange story, but bear with me. So when I was younger, and to some extent still today, I really love rock and roll music. One of my favorite bands, Kiss, was coming to town, and I was going to go and see Kiss. And we were way in the back. We were poor high school students. And there was this guy that came around who was like one of the truck drivers for the band. And he had this, you know, the lanyard on with the pass and everything. And I had a couple of cute girlfriends who were with me. And so he came and talked to us. And he said, well, I can get you guys, you know, up front. And I thought, man, this guy is so cool, not because of who he is, but just because he knows Kiss, right? Mm. And so he has this like image of the band Kiss that I got to meet. And I felt so privileged just to like meet a guy who knew the band Kiss, right? And I kind of think about all of that, and we get to be that guy for God, and God is way better than the band Kiss, right? We get to be the guy that goes out to people and says, I know God, let me bring you closer to him. And it's a privilege. It's something really cool to work for someone as amazing as God.
That's good.
That's excellent. I mean, it's excellent to go. I think about, let's say if my funeral was tomorrow, and I've thought about this before, is there anything better someone could say about my life than to say, you know what? I came to know, and I know God in ways I never dreamed possible because of this person in my life. You go, good grief. And you go, how'd that happen? Through ongoing conversations, through one of our podcasts we did with you, was on prayer that God told me, talk with this man, speak into his life, care about him, walk the tough journey with him, that someone would go, I know God in amazing ways because this person was a point man for me.
And how cool it is to be used by God to do that.
It is. It is. It's humbling and it's overwhelming in my mind to think about the kind of privilege God gives us in that. So this is where I don't want to walk into a time of mentoring a guy and go, okay, it's just the same old thing. We're going to talk about these things. I need to get my act together. I need to go in the corner and say, God, I'm getting ready to go back into a discussion with this guy that you've had in my life for, let's say, 3 months. Today's another privilege I have to speak some incredible truth of the kingdom of God in his life. I haven't always done that, Rob.
Yeah, and
I've gone in with my plan at times, or I'm tired, or okay, this today won't matter as much because we've had some other good times together.
And I guess, I don't know how you feel, Chris, but I know there's been times where I've been, oh, geez, God, another thing you're asking me to do today. Mm-hmm. This is just, it's too much. I get kind of mad at God sometimes. Like, but if you change your mindset a little bit and say, I get to be used by the King of the universe to bring him to somebody, that ends up being a privilege. And I can't tell you how many times I've said that to God. Like, it's a, I don't know, it's like my one day off this week and I get a call like right in the middle of family time. Somebody's in the hospital, you got to go see him. And I'm like, any really right now? Like, just, I've had a terribly busy week and I complain about it the whole time. And when I leave that hospital, every time I look up and I say, wow, God, that was actually really nice. Thank you for using me to do something that really mattered, to bring hope to this person in the hospital. And it feels good every time to be used by God to do that. I just wish I'd remember that beforehand and not complain about it so much.
Well, because you're operating in the kingdom of God principles. You know, if you want to be the greatest, you become the least. If you want to lead, you become a server. All the things that I think, oh, that's going to take all my energy and zap me. And then I come energized. I mean, his kingdom, it's upside down. And so when we're operating with the kingdom of God and in those principles, my goodness.
I also think about, this is another aspect of this discussion, but a tool that we developed several years ago is called My Life, My Story. And you get to know another person's story by looking at their past, present, what's going on, and some things they hope for the future. Maybe there's some fear or dread of the future. And you over time, you get to know this person through this. And I thought about this with the kingdom of God. It's easier for me to talk with someone about their past. And then what's currently going on? What are things you're discouraged about, or what are some things you're hopeful for and that really encourages you today? But I think even in the future, I tend to think too small. When I get into this career, when we have this move, when we have this financial blessing, this relationship has developed more. And God's going, those are important on this earth right now. But Chris, think further. The ultimate kingdom of God, as you talked about, I don't know that I've ever had that conversation yet, Rob, and I will now at some point, talking about the kingdom of God beyond my physical life on this earth for that person.
That's huge. And that reminds me of something I've been thinking about a lot lately is, have you ever seen the movie Charlie Wilson's War?
No, but it sounds like one you would recommend.
It's rated R for a reason, but there's some really good stuff in it. And at the very end, I think it kind of really gets at the whole message of the movie. And the message of the movie is that what looks like something bad can actually ultimately be a blessing. And what looks like something good might ultimately not be a blessing. And when we do what you're doing, Chris, and you're thinking of life, not just in terms of right now, but in terms of the kingdom of God at the end of time, it changes how we view what's good and what's bad. No longer is it just, oh, I won the lottery. This is really good. Actually, winning the lottery in the grand scheme of things can be really bad. It's not so much how I'm feeling right now that determines what's good and bad. But when you view everything in terms of the kingdom of God and getting there, it changes. It shifts how you look at what's good and bad. And as a pastor, it's something I get to point out to people a lot. You know, this hurts really bad right now, but God is using this somehow, some way to get you or somebody you know into the kingdom of God through this.
So good. It makes me think of, I've used this numerous times, but when the two Marys went to the tomb and it was empty, they freaked out because they saw it was bad. It's like, hey, that was the best news ever. Jesus wasn't there because he was resurrected, right? The empty tomb was not a bad thing. And yet that's what they thought, right?
So and not even the crucifixion, also not a bad thing. You think this is the worst thing ever.
Right. But
God turned that into the best thing ever.
Yeah, perspective. I think that's what the one thing I'm taken by surprise about is when we're looking at the bigger picture, my perspective now has been so altered in looking at mentoring, my role and the image I get to of God, I get to bring into mentoring.
And so we're not just here talking as mentors. You guys are mentors who also train other mentors. And as people who are listening to this podcast might be interested in mentoring, what is something as a mentor who trains mentors, what is something you want to pass on about the kingdom of God and how this is going to impact how you're going to train mentors in the future?
That is a big question, Rob.
Off the top of my head, my thought is I want to cast a bigger vision like you have, Rob, that yes, Jesus poured into people But my goodness, let's go back to Genesis. From the beginning, we were created to bear the image of God. And mentoring is a basic way, and dare I say, the most important way, perhaps, to bring the kingdom of God into somebody else's life. I have never looked at that. I've always stopped with Jesus. But when I go back to Genesis and look at why I was created in his image, that's a game changer for me from now on.
Gives a whole new purpose and meaning to life.
And it, every step of this, it takes the mentors out of the center. It's always about God. It's not about a mentor. We just get to be his representatives.
Okay, so God cares about the details of our lives. I truly believe that. Okay, he cares about my relationships. I put my hand in front of my face. Whatever is current for me, that's what I tend to look at. At the same time, there's so much more beyond that, Rob. You're making me think of this as a mentor. Honoring that person I'm mentoring and go, I know this career is so important to you right now, and I honor that. And I feel the same way at times about my career or your financial situation or this relationship is so important to you. Even that new house you just got, that's so important to you. They are just steps or pieces. If we can move them to the side spiritually and you can see far ahead, there's so much more. These are just tiny little things in our lives that are taking us there. Does that make sense?
It does. And on top of that, you have a God who is putting those things in your life intentionally to take you there.
To take you there.
He's orchestrating everything that's going on around us. Of course, we still have free will, but God is still putting things in our lives constantly to give us or to bring us to that ultimate blessing, which is the kingdom of God. And then you, as you told me in our last podcast, Chris, about prayer, that you pray, God, you know, do you want me to mentor this person? God says yes. That means you're a piece that God wants to use in that person's life to show them the kingdom of God and to tell them about the ultimate kingdom of God at the end of time.
That statement is worth the whole podcast episode right now.
Yeah. Did you write that down?
No, but we have it on a recording. No, that, guys, we are a piece. Boy, that tweaks the brain. We are a piece of them stepping into the kingdom of God at some point.
Absolutely. And what a privilege it is to be used by God to do that.
I don't always feel it. I don't always think that way. But man, as I talk to God about things, that he would always remind me of this. Chris, remember the purpose here. You're a piece, an important piece of helping that person walk toward the kingdom of God. It's so far beyond what you just see right now. I've been working with some guys on, as I was reading in, it's in Mark, yes, and in 2 Corinthians as well, it's talking about a veil that can be put over us that we don't even see clearly. And I thought, man, I've lived too much of my life, Rob, with some veils over my eyes, whether it's culture, whether it's family dynamics, whether it's just pure selfishness, whatever it is. And God's going, Chris, let's get that veil out of your way so you can see where you're going and what I'm actually doing with you. It's not just about what's in front of you.
And we get to be a piece in somebody's life that pulls back that veil a little bit, and others are got pieces that God uses to pull back that veil in our own life too. And I think we all get blinded by the here and now. We're immediate creatures. We're instant gratification is the name of the game. But praying and asking God to help us to see the bigger picture every day, he does. He gradually pulls back that veil, Chris. I've been learning that, and I pray that God will continue to do that in my life and in your lives and in the lives of our listeners too.
One of the biggest misconceptions people who are not mentoring is they think, well, I can't be a mentor. I don't have tools. Approaching it from the kingdom of God, it sets somebody up for partnership with God and bringing the kingdom instead of, oh, I got to be an expert and give away something to someone else. That's not it. Mentoring, you get to partner with God, meet people where they are, bring the kingdom of God to them. That's two different shifts. So when we're training people, this will be a new piece of information. I think the average Christian who is not mentoring would go, oh, my goodness, I get to partner with God because of what Genesis says.
That almost sounds arrogant in a way, but it's not. Someone say, people ask me all the time, Chris, what do you do? I'm a mentor and I train people to be mentors. What if I also, if I need to, I've got to believe it, I get to partner with God in the lives of people to help them live their life well today and step into the kingdom of God.
You know what I like that you said, Chris? You said, I get to.
I get
to. It's not like you, that takes the arrogance out of it, right? You're not saying, I am this great vessel that God uses. I get to work with God as a servant in his kingdom to bring the kingdom of God. Absolutely.
Robert, what's interesting in getting to know you, so we did a podcast over, I forget what the topic was now, a few months ago.
It was on the fourth motivation.
Yes.
Love-based motivation.
Yes. So we recorded a podcast episode and we had three motivations. They're good. You emailed us and said, guys, this is good, but I think you're missing the most important one. So you gave us some insight. We recorded that with you. That's excellent. Then we say, hey, some other thoughts God may give you on future podcast episodes. And you say, well, let's talk about prayer. And then let's talk about the kingdom of God. What God's already done with you in just three episodes of a podcast is you have become, I'm not just saying this, you've become a piece of us stepping closer to the kingdom of God with the perspective God has given you.
Well, I'm learning more and more, Chris, that God puts Christians in the lives of other Christians to do exactly that. And you guys have done that with me too. In so many ways, I was a part of one of your trainings. And as we have these discussions on the podcast and we talked about prayer in the last one, and I learned a lot about prayer from you too. And so one of my friends, great Christian man, and he says one of those proverbs over and over again, that iron sharpens iron. And
17.
There you go. Proverbs 17:17. And I love it because it's so true that God puts Christians in the lives of other Christians to sharpen one another. If you can say, well, I'm only a teacher, then you've missed the point, because we can always learn from other Christians and we get to mutually grow together in our faith. And that's exciting. That's awesome.
I love this, Chris.
Well, just that you've made the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not simple. I'm not saying that. But you have helped simplify my perspective of it. It doesn't sound intimidating. It sounds actually incredible.
Praise the Lord for that. It's all him doing it, right? We're just the image bearers. We just get to do the work, but he's the one behind it all. So praise God.
I love this. Any closing thoughts?
What I might like to do again, we did it on our last podcast. Can we pray again and just ask God to bring his kingdom?
Yeah, that's great.
Most definitely.
Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us in your word about what you've done and about what you're doing and about what you're ultimately going to do in bringing the kingdom of God. And we thank you that as lowly and simple as we are, that we get to be your image bearers in representing you and bringing the kingdom of God in small ways to people and pointing them to the ultimate kingdom of God, to you. And we just ask, Lord, because we cannot do this without your help. So we ask that you'd help us to do it. Help us to see it as the great privilege that it is, and help us to find those people that you want us to speak into and bring the kingdom to. And then, Lord, work through us to help with whatever they've got going on, to bring the kingdom in a small way, and then give us the courage to talk about how that's just a little sample of the ultimate kingdom that you're going to bring one day, and work through us to bring them to know you and trust you that they might be in your ultimate kingdom too. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you guys, Rob, for having me on today.
Yes. Yeah,
this was great. If you listened today and this was helpful and useful, like it, subscribe to the podcast, share this with friends. At Commercial Brick, they are our sponsor today. They're a family, and on their website, they say, we are family, we build like one. Since 1975, they've worked to create lasting products, lasting relationships, and a company where people come first. So check them out at commercialbrick.com. As always, we want to thank you for listening to Real Life Mentoring Podcast.